Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I really appreciate you allowing me to come back and share with you. Going back to where I graduated, Dallas Seminary, I graduated back when the apostles were still teaching there. And so I was really fortunate. And I keep patting my name tag here. I don't want it to drop. I don't want to be a name dropper, you know. Usually my situation happens that way. But I really appreciate you allowing me to share with you, because I wanted to relate to you a study to this morning, Psalm 71. And it's, if you see it, it's a psalm of a senior saint. And I picked that one, and I can remember it real easy because that was the same as my age, 71. So I guess next year I'll have to study 72. I don't think I'll get to 150, but I may have to study a little faster. But the interesting thing about this psalm is the author is explaining to us how we can live and be faithful in, as seniors while living in a world that's run by millennials. And there is some things that we need to know so we can keep strong in a very wicked society that we are observing. And so let's take a look at what advice that he shares with us. Now, the question a lot of times is very helpful to understand who wrote any text that we're studying, because it helps us to understand their vision, the atmosphere they lived in, the situations, and sometimes it makes it easier for us to apply it to our life. But in this situation, very interestingly, God kept it anonymous. And I wonder, why did he keep it anonymous? And I believe that he did this so it would not prejudice us in reading it, in how we apply it. And you'll see why in a little bit. But let me share with you some candidates that the scholars believe may have written this. And they have good arguments for each one of them. But I will give you the true author in a minute. God revealed me who he really was. He just confirmed that I was right. But we'll take a look at it. Now, the first candidate, a lot of people believe that Samuel wrote it. Now, he set up the first Bible school, as you all may know. And so we believe that more than likely he had a music department in that school. That would be an obvious. Also, one of the popular beliefs is Jeremiah wrote it. Now, he was very familiar with a devout group of, they called it the Rechabites. They were a movement to try to get people to get back to the Word of God and follow God's commands and walk in holiness. Now, they were a strange bunch that kind of stuck out in society, kind of like the Amish would be, today, that kind of a group. But Jeremiah vetted them out, and he realized that they were the real deal and they were legit. Now, my favorite is David. Now, I believe it's possibly because it may have just been a follow-up for Psalm 70. Now, also, he uses a lot of expressions and words in this psalm that is David. Okay, that he would use this. They were popular with his writings. So to me, it seems fairly obvious that King David wrote it. But since I am not a judge, I am not a prophet, and I'm not a king, I can't necessarily apply it to those roles. And that's why it was anonymous, because God wants us to apply these things to all of us. Now, of course, David experienced a lot of things in his day that we experience today, and it makes it a little easier to apply it. But now, like a senior would normally do in starting up a conversation, he would start out, since probably the weather has been pretty well used up, they would talk about their turbulence. You know, I got a pain here, and I got a problem here, and I'm taking this medication. And, you know, that's the conversation that seems to pop up a lot in groups of seniors. Well, this is the same way with this gentleman. And so the first six verses, he talks about the turbulence in his life that he's experiencing. So, first of all, he reflects on God's faithfulness. He reflects on it. And then that is so wonderful. This is a faithful saint that reflects on God's faithfulness in the midst of his turbulence. And so he starts out and explaining his situation. He presents his case before the Lord and in all the readers. He says, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed." Now that word ashamed in the Hebrew can be translated disappointed. I will not be disappointed if I put my faith in the Lord. That's what he's bringing about. "In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me." Now, what he's talking about is not spiritual salvation. He's talking about his emotional and physical saving. Okay? He's in deep weeds, and he is looking for the Lord for his rescue. And so he explains and reiterates his confidence in the Lord and why he can come to the Lord for that request. He says, "Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." That is where he holds his faith in the security of God's attentiveness and his loyal love, which a lot of times we translate it of love forever or forever loving. This is hesed. It is loyal love. Loving you in spite of how you feel, what you say, and what you do. I have committed to love you unconditionally. And so he begins and gets a little bit more specific, and he wants to do a little bit more explanation so we can relate to why he feels the way he feels. He's remembering God's faithfulness. He reflected on it, but now he's getting a little bit more specific. He's wanting to remember how God took care of him. And so he begins explaining where he goes when he gets trials and tribulations coming into his life. He says, "Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked." See, that's the trouble he's experiencing. Wicked people, out of the grasp of wrongdoer and the ruthless man. This gives me another clue. It was David. I mean, every time he turned around, the wicked were after him and lying about him and wanted to kill him. And so he learned a lot from his trials. It became a teaching moment every time something happened. And not only would he ask, "Rescue me from this trial," he asked, "What am I to learn from you from this trial?" This is what we need to do when we have certain things come up. "Lord, what am I supposed to learn? How am I supposed to grow from this?" He says, "For you are my hope." Now, it's very interesting. He says, "You're my hope." Now, this person is a senior now, and he still has hope. He's still looking to the future. He's not living in the past, the good old days. He remembers it, but he doesn't live there. He lives to the future and in the present. In his relationship with God, he's excited. He has hope. "You are my hope. Oh, Lord God, you are my confidence from my youth." He is experiencing it. See, that's the blessing that we all have as seniors. We've had many years of walking with the Lord. Most of us, you know, some of us may be new on board. We just came out of the birth and we're still going, where's my meal? But most of us, we've experienced many experiences, and our role and privilege is to share to the next generation the faithfulness of God. We have history with Him, and that is so awesome. And so there's all way from His youth. And then He explains, by you I have been sustained from my birth, even from His birth. You are He who took me from my mother's womb. You didn't have me aborted. I was able to be born, and then I can experience a life with you, and I have purpose, and I have hope. That is something to be praised. He says, my praise is continually of you. I'm always praising your name. And, you know, you can always see a difference when you have people that have really enjoyed the Lord and walked with Him. They get together and they talk about, what did the Lord teach you today? What experience did God bring you today? Oh, wait, hey, let me tell you what. Now, that's what David did. You know, in Psalms 34, he said, let's all get together and we will praise the Lord together. And if you don't have an experience you want to share, use mine. Let me tell you what he did for me. And that's a very interesting story that he went through, and it's quite humorous. So you might want to read about that sometime. But his praise to God is continual. He couldn't get enough of it. So he has grown in his trials. Every time he's had those trials, he's grown a little bit more. He trusts the Lord a little bit more because he's seen God work through them in these trials. See, this is so incredible. It's a spiritual muscle that has been worked continually. Now, there's a gentleman called, his name was Benjamin Disraeli. He was in the 1800s, was a prime minister in Britain. Now, he did not have the same attitude that David had, or the author of this psalm had, because he said, youth is a mistake. Manhood is a struggle. Old age is a regret. I mean, what kind of a life worldview is that? Man, talk about negative. Unfortunately, so many people today subconsciously feel that way. They haven't put it in words, though, but they're thinking that. And believers think that, too. And they're walking around being depressed, and they don't know why. You know, because subconsciously, see, your subconscious doesn't know the difference between fact and fiction. So, you know, if you say something negative about yourself, the subconscious, oh, I guess I am. So you start acting it out. So it's a dangerous thing. So then he gets to be even more specific. He's bringing us some key points. And so he starts addressing his troubles that he had been experiencing. He wanted to draw us into his experience so he could feel what he felt, and we can realize his demeanor here. Now, one of the things is fascinating, and he said, I have become a marvel to many. What he is saying here is the people's response to his life. People watch you. They watch you. And you may not realize it, but they do. And sometimes they will actually come to you, and I've noticed how you treated this person here. I've noticed how you responded to this particular question. I've noticed your attitude. And so you are a witness, whether you realize it or not. And a lot of times, our rewards in heaven will come from how God used you and you didn't even know it. And I had a funny thing happened to me one time. This lady came up to me and he said, 20 years ago, you led me to the Lord. Really? I don't remember that. Oh, well, you weren't, you didn't realize it, but you got on a bus with a friend of yours, a city bus, and She happened to be on that bus, and she sat behind me. And he says, you know, when you get excited, you get loud. And so it wasn't, I mean, y'all talking about the Lord and everything. And I said, I got to have that. I don't have that. And so she was in a tremendous conviction. She got off the bus, sat in front of Neiman Marcus, and put her faith in Christ and just bawled. And this lady came by and says, oh, honey, do you want a tissue? And he said, the greatest thing that happened in my life and all the world could give me was a tissue. But I had no idea that. And so people are watching. And so that's exciting what God can do. Well, he became a marvel to many and says, for you are my strong refuge. They understood, they saw how he was responding to his trials. People watched that. And they say, wow, how can he handle that in the struggles that he is in? They notice that. They are impressed. And he says, my mouth is filled with your praise, with your glory all day long. So his praise is growing. It's getting filled up, his praise, and it's taking over. And all day long, God is being glorified because of, number one, your attitude of your appreciation and praise, and then your verbal praise to others. And God will reward you for that. God is too wise to make mistakes, too loving to be unkind, and too powerful to be thwarted. That is such an incredibly true statement. And that's our God. And we can enjoy him or dread him. And all of us in this room, we enjoy him. And we are living a life of expectancy because we can wake up in the morning and say, what's going to happen today, Lord? What can we do today? We want to, and I ask you to show me your work so I can praise your name. Open my eyes so I can see it. Now, David had knew a gentleman by the name of Barzillai. Barzillai was in his 80s, and he was fairly well off. And when David and his men were traveling around and fighting his battles, this guy was feeding his troops. He was always putting things together, and apparently he did not just give them K rations. He gave them full spreads, and he sustained the armies of David. Well, David recognized that and appreciated. This was volunteer work. And so when the battles were over and he was ready to go home, David came up to him, and while Barzillai was in his older age, he said, you have been so faithful to me and so faithful to my troops. Come with me to my palace, and I will do the same thing for you that you've done for us. That's exactly what the Lord is going to do in his conversation to us. You have been faithful so long for my name's sake. Come to my palace, and I will sustain you and do the same thing for you that you've done for me in my namesake. So David is a good picture. But he brings out the pressures that had come upon him in his experience. And remembering Barzillai, he said, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. You know, let me have a little bit of energy. Let me still serve you, because his purpose was serving the Lord, but his concern was his strength was failing. And how are you going to use me when I am in my condition? We got health issues. We've got financial issues. We've got relationship issues. We've got a lot of distractions. Don't forsake me. Keep using me for your plans. So He explains the persecutions that he was experiencing. He says, "For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver.'" Now, that's one of the things that is a serious problem that we seniors are experiencing. We become targets for every fraud, every scam, internet, or any type of schemes. They want to take advantage of us. Now, I'm a financial advisor by trade. I've been doing that for 40 years. And we have a department that their sole purpose is to protect seniors from frauds and scams. And I see it happening. We not only have to protect people from scammers, we have to protect people even from the industry, the financial industry, because they take advantage of seniors. We've got to be very, very careful, and it's very serious. Well, he was experiencing the same thing. Being a senior, you're a target. Okay, so he was being persecuted. So in his prayer, he says, "Oh God, do not be far from me, oh my God, hastening to help to my help. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me." That's a legit prayer. Lord, deal with them. Deal with them. Yeah. Okay. Now, abiding in the Lord solves many problems for us seniors. And let's take a look. Confusion and disappointment. Our walking with the Lord will solve that problem, those problems there. Also, living in the past. We don't have to live in the past. We've got so much in the present and the future to look forward to. So that is very important. And then spirit of complaining. I'm telling you, complaining can get become habit forming. And we start complaining, and it's so easy. And it becomes a habit. That is, we got to watch that. But walking with the Lord, abiding with Him, will solve that. And our physical and emotional weakness that, you know, we've got health issues I'm referring to, emotional issues, relationship, all these issues that is so hard to deal with. And so, abiding in the Lord solves those problems. What's abiding with the Lord? Okay? Well, first of all, we got to remember who He is. He is the rock of my habitation, my rock, my fortress, my God, my hope, my confidence, and my strong refuge. Okay? He is everything. And when we put our faith in Him because of this, and we can watch what He's doing. Remember, David remembered all the times that God had sustained him. What He's doing, who He, His person, His faithfulness. It's just amazing how walking with the Lord and abiding Him in prayer and reading His Word and seeing what God's how God works through our experiences. I had a professor one time said, he said, in your life, if you'll put, you have two choices. You either put the Word, apply it to your experiences, or God will cause your experiences to get you into the Word. I prefer the first. And so then he explains, he focuses more on God and who He is. So we can follow His example and trust the Lord as well. And okay, He has a song in His heart, just like these birds. Okay? They sing of God's praise every morning. Now, he starts out, he says, "But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more." Or in the South, mo and mo. Okay? "My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long. For I do not know the sum of them. I can't even itemize them all. I don't have enough legal pads full enough to explain all the things you have done, not only your salvation, but everything that goes with the salvation, the blessings you just pour on us and pour on us. It's just amazing. In fact, if you try to itemize it so you can make sure you thank him for everything, it'll just get all muddled up and it just all swell up inside and it'll come out like praise. And you say, I want to thank God. And then you praise him because it covers everything. All right? Praise does. Now, that as for me is very important. That is an expression that separates us from the viewpoint of the world. As for me, as 22 times it's used in the scripture, in the Psalms. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness, Psalm 17. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity, Psalm 26. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord, as for, in Psalm 31. In spite of the world, I stand alone. In contrast to the world, I am going to trust in you. As for me, I shall call upon God, Psalm 55, 16. But as for me, I shall sing of your strength, Psalm 59. That's the same phrase that Joshua brought out. As for me and my house, I will serve you and honor you. He also not only has a song in his heart, he has God's strength in his heart. Now, it took me a while to get this line to stay still for the picture, but we finally succeeded. But he says, I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. Yes. And so he gets even more personal here and starts relating his personal story. He explains that one of the things that helps him, he remembers God's faithfulness in the past. He doesn't live in the past, but he remembers what God has done for him in the past. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And then he reflects on God's present faithfulness. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. Don't keep me healthy enough that I can have a chance. Maybe live long enough so I have a chance to share with this next generation. I want them to understand your faithfulness. Give me that opportunity. I want them to experience and enjoy as much as I do. That is a privilege that we have as seniors. You know, there is a spiritual relationship between grandkids and grandparents. There's just something about it that's a unique. In fact, James Dobson said that is a unique connection that is so special. And grandparents have this power, this that the Spirit of God gives them to be able to communicate to grandkids even more than parents to kids. It's just really, really interesting observation. But he says that he wants to make sure the next generation understands your faithfulness and power. That's an appeal to God. And then he talks about his appreciation of God in that. He says, for your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? Who is like you? Several of us have had the privilege of having a praise name. Like in my name, Michael means, who is like God? And some have, like Micah, it's the same. Who is like God? Mine is talking about Elohim, the creator God, and Micah is talking about Yahweh, the God of the covenant. So he is expressive. There's nothing like it. He's just overwhelmed with the majesty of God. Now, these two seniors is special, God recognized them in the Christmas story, is Anna and Simeon. They were worshiping in the temple all day long. And because, see, they couldn't do a lot of, you know, going out and feeding the poor and leading a bunch of people to Christ and all these things that we did when we were younger. Their faith was a reward and pleasing to the Lord, and a worship and a sweet aroma to Him. And so they were at the temple, and Simeon had been promised by the Lord that he would get to see the Messiah before he passed away. And so they were in the temple, and Joseph and Mary brought in Jesus. And so you see Simeon holding baby Jesus and just praising the Lord of his faithfulness that he got to see the Messiah before he passed away. And so their attitude and their worldview, or the view of life, was quite interesting. They looked back in gratitude, seeing God's faithfulness, and they looked up in faith to the source of true life and joy. And they looked around in love to help those in need. And they looked forward in hope to the coming Messiah and his rulership on earth. They studied prophecy. They knew prophecy, and that gave them hope. So they looked back, they looked up, they looked around, and they looked forward. And as a result, God's promises were the anchor of their souls. And so, all encompassing. And that's the attitude that we need to have as Simeon and Anna. Then he, we mentioned prophecy, he rejoices in God's future faithfulness. God will resurrect me and have me reign with him. That is an incredible promise, that we will be able to reign with Christ. So you who have shown me many troubles and distresses will revive me again and will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. May you increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. So in his response of all that reflecting and medication meditation. Now see, I'm a senior. proof in the pudding. but he starts responding in worship and joy, first of all with music. I will also praise you with a harp, even your truth, O my God. To you I will sing praises with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. And then he responds with a song. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you and my soul, which you have redeemed. And then even with his speech, he says, my tongue also will utter your righteousness all day long, for they are ashamed, for they are humiliated who seek my hurt. So the point to ponder in this psalm is very important. The purpose and the hope God gives us from his word and his faithfulness in everyday life. In other words, his word and our experiences, our purpose and hope, it stokes the flame of our joy. That's how we can have joy when things are a little rough. And that is something that we need to remember. And so I'm going to have Ann share a short testimony of two senior saints that were found faithful. So I want to share, Ann.
As Mike prepared for today's lesson on Psalm 71 about senior saints, I was reminded of the influence of two elderly saints that have meant so much to me in my life. The gentleman on the left was affectionately called Pappy, not only by his grandchildren, but by many people. I first met Pappy when he was about 88 years old. His son was my principal at First Baptist Academy. Pappy had come to school to play his saw in chapel that day. He loved playing his saw whenever given the opportunity at churches, retirement homes, and for guests who would visit him in his own home. He was a pastor for many years, and his love for Jesus was joyful to overflowing. He was full of enthusiasm for living. That day at school, when I met him, I said, "Pappy, I have a job for you. Would you like to be my behind-the-scenes prayer warrior for students in my class?" He perked up and, without hesitation, was eager to accept the opportunity to pray. I gave him a photo of each student in my class, and when he got home, he put the pictures on a poster board and wrote each of their names under them. When I would talk with him on the phone, giving him various prayer requests, right in the middle of the conversation, he would just start talking to Jesus. So each year, Pappy continued to be my student's prayer warrior until I retired from teaching. His influence was far-reaching, and he never missed an opportunity to speak to others about the Lord. Pappy lived at an assisted living facility the last few years of his life and walked with a crooked cane, which he had personally made. On his cane was etched John 3:16. He told people that he had a crooked cane with a straight message. Pappy passed away in 2016 at the age of 99. At his funeral, the memorial service was packed. Many people gave personal testimonies about how he had touched their lives. His trademark was calling church members on their birthday and singing happy birthday to them. I remember one year when he called me on my birthday, I told him, "Pappy, I want to be just like you when I grow up." The lady on the right was named Bebe. I met her in my Sunday school class when I was attending Redeemer Bible Church. She was another senior saint who exhibited a zest for life and enjoyed meeting people. We would often go to lunch together where she would tell me about her life story and many adventures. When she was diagnosed with cervical cancer at age 81, I would go to visit her, taking her encouraging books and Christian videos to watch. One day, she was very weak and told me it was getting harder to remember Bible verses, but she still remembered many hymns and choruses, and every morning she would sing her favorite little chorus upon arising. "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free." Both Pappy and Bebe had the joy of the Lord as their strength. They wanted to please the Lord by exhibiting a joyful, positive spirit. Their lives spoke and showed those coming behind them how to live out their faith to the end of life. Psalm 92 described them perfectly. "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." They still were bringing forth fruit in old age to show that the Lord is upright. For Pappy and Bebe, Christ was their rock. and they knew the best was yet to come.
Thank you, Ann. These senior saints have already heard this wonderful phrase from our Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so let's enjoy a song that will apply to our lives. Haddon Spurgeon said this, "Lord, let me grow in humility as I see the increasing number of sins from which you have forgiven me and from which you have protected me." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that we can only be faithful if your power of your Spirit helps us to be faithful. Not only help us to be faithful, Lord, but make us want to be faithful, want to be holy, so we can have a fulfilling life and enjoy you as we walk with you. And show us your work in our lives so we can praise your name. We don't want to miss a thing, Lord. You do so much for us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for placing us in your family. And thank you for letting us serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Special privilege for you to come and share the word with us, and we just appreciate it so much. Jessica's not with us today, but I want to tell you something. Nearly everything out there in that room where you're going to eat, she did. That is not what I did. Pam, I would like for you and Don to come up. Is Don still in here?
No,
oh, there he is. It's always a neat thing to have a good Bible teacher. And to have a lady, and to have a lady who decorates our little corner of the room. She always lets her light shine out there. And several years ago, I had an old minister friend who said, you know, that famous verse, "The fat belongs to the Lord." So I try to remember that when I go to her table. But we are so grateful for both of you and for the way you minister to us and your faithfulness to teach and to study, because I know that's not an easy task. But it was just wonderful to have John and to be able to study it with you this year.
In our pleasure.
Well, it's just what a gift to come at an Easter time, too. I was thinking a while ago about, you know, Sandy started all of this, and yet she turned it over to a very capable and able saint to come along and keep us going. And what a blessing that is. We are so fortunate to be in Dallas sometimes, but to be in the Word. To be in the Word in Dallas, what a gift God's given us to have that and to have these two people. This is just a token of how much we love you. Mm-hmm.
It's always a privilege to be here. And the Lord has opened up the doors, and you all opened our hearts, your hearts to us. And we just thank the Lord every time we come in here that we can be with you. And we share that time together, and we just ask the Lord to honor and glorify everything you say and do. And we thank you for each one of you. It's been a real privilege.
Like I promised you before, we won't waste all that on ourselves. Some of that will go to some other much more worthy and noble causes. And I reminded you before, I'll remind you again of that passage in Luke 16:9 where it says, make friends for yourselves by means of your worldly possessions, so that when they're gone, when you're dead and gone, the people that you've helped here will welcome you into your heavenly dwellings. So there'll be people thanking you throughout eternity for your gifts that you may not even know anything about. So when they do that, act like you knew what you were doing and send it in the habit and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, thank you very much for your kind gesture. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I want you two to talk a little bit about your family, your children, and what got you here and how long you've been at Grace and how long you've been teaching. You have about
4 minutes for that and one on your grandchildren. So share it with us.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take about several years to talk about the grandchildren.
We've got two children, grown children, one daughter, one son. They both have two children themselves. One of them has an adopted daughter, and that's our daughter. And she also has an autistic son who has proven to be quite a challenge. He's reached the point of his life where he's getting big enough that it's harder to discipline and things like that. And autistic children are very challenging for us to influence anyway. So we have two children and four grandchildren. Each of them have two each. And we see them. They both live in the area, so we see them quite often. We came to Grace back in 1968. And we've been here since, and I've been teaching since 72, so we've been teaching for some time, and that's very much the enjoyment of our life, of course, teaching the Word of God, so that's why we're more than happy to do it and very glad to do it. It's our pleasure to teach it. Anytime anybody will come and listen, we'll try to teach it if we can. So.
And you help a lot with this autistic grandson.
Yeah, we try. They're challenging. Autistic children are definitely challenging. They have some problems that can't be fixed, but they can be helped. And we try to do what we can to help, but we're not going to fix them. They can't be fixed. So, anyway, anything else you want to think of?
Well, I think you covered them. Today is basic, so
thank you.
Yeah, we're thankful for our families and, of course, and each other grandchildren. They are really... just the joy of our
home. Thank you. Thank you both.
You bet. It's our pleasure.